Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose, and all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the men's room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the men's room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
Hey, and away we go. Welcome to show number 2980.
20 shows away from show 3000.
Along with Steve the Thrill Hill. The Chad Smith. Woo! Woman Fox. And my car. Montgomery! Thank you! Out in the men's row!
On tap today,
who sucks less?
What you don't need to know has dancing etiquette and tips from 15 and 29 now. Get ready to play Profile This. Plus headlines, men's room shout of the day, fun with listener emails, and everyone's favorite, TV Time with Ted.
Click, clack,
drinkity drunk. Here we go. Florida man makes mistake of going to bed while leaving his best friend and girlfriend in the hot tub together.
Washington Police Department, unlike West Virginia police, appear to be able to have fun in cold weather.
Do you see where they started shooting at the kids?
Yes.
Ridiculous.
Courthouse closes after bed bugs start falling from lawyer's head. Ooh. Colorado trail runner chased by big cat and now a mountain lion is dead. And bride asks guest for $233 to secure their place at her wedding. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, look, people that just love communing with nature, they are what we call outdoorsy. And, of course, nature can be wonderful. It can also not be. A guy in Colorado was jogging on a mountain, and I'm sure the view was awesome right up until the mountain lion attacked him. But these things happen. There's a guy in Hawaii. He was one with nature when he went exploring the volcanoes. He videoed the whole thing with his GoPro, including the part when the GoPro fell into a lava-filled crack. Yes, the great outdoors. Keep in mind, they can sneak up on you in the city, too. Kid in Los Angeles, he had to be rescued from a sewer after getting swept away by a river. And the outdoors, they don't only mess with humans. We told you a few weeks ago about a chihuahua that was snatched up by a hawk for dinner until the dog slipped from its talons and went crashing into a construction site. Good times. Gotta love the outdoors. Look, man, nothing wrong with being outside, but sometimes things go wrong. That's what we want to talk about today. Today's question is, when did the great outdoors stop being so great?
Be a part of the big show. Call 844-999-OLA. Like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send your emails to themensroom@mensroomlive.com. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Back to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
All the shows and away we go. Welcome to show number 2980.
What a large and in charge program we have for you today as we are only 20 shows away from show number 3000. I know what you're thinking to yourself if you happen to catch our 14th anniversary celebration. Oh,
which was a bit of a letdown. We really didn't get any of the strippers, the pizza, the chicken wings.
Nothing.
Sometimes they even get us a cake or just kind of have a little bit of a celebration and a party. Maybe a bottle of whiskey that we can enjoy, some beers or something like that. But, hey, we are only 20 shows away, and our logic was this. Obviously, there was good reason for not celebrating our 14th anniversary.
Why?
Because they were waiting to celebrate show 3000.
Okay, that makes sense.
So we're 20 days away from that. There have been a lot of meetings going on in the office that we're not invited to, which is not uncommon. Either way, we're assuming that they are plotting something huge. So 20 shows away from that. Get ready to go, as we might have a guaranteed future repeat on our hands today. The exciting return of Who Sucks Less. I got no vibe today on what our three stories are. Steve, you bring us three stories from the news every week. Mm-hmm. All of them suck.
Yes.
It's up to us to determine which of the three suck the least.
Yeah, and look, the stories are never great. What can you do? That's why it's called Who Sucks Less. But Mike reviews these stories. Today he came in and he just said, look, these aren't the worst people in the world, but they all know they're a-holes.
Okay.
That is a quote.
Who Sucks Less is coming up. The exciting return of what you don't need to know. And we go back to an article that first appeared in the USA Today by Lucas Riley. And it involved a book called The Rules of Dancing.
Ah, yes.
It was written by a 16th century soldier, judge, historian, poet, and dance theorist.
You know he had all the moves, man.
He wrote this book, and
he was the first man to break dance.
And they broke down the book into 15 dancing tips from 1529, proven to wow your date.
Proven to wow your date?
Absolutely right. If you wanted to go dancing with a dame, this would be your guide.
Okay. Honest, yes. Would you like it's a dame specific?
Would you like a taste of one of the 15 dancing tips from 1529? Proven to wow your date.
You know I do, because I'm always saying, man, oh man, if I just had a few more tips for dancing to wow my dame,
mm-hmm. that would be. Let's go here. Okay, here we go. Right, let's see.
Panties.
No, that's not one. Okay. All right. Rule number 8: double check your groin's hardware. In 1463, the Parliament of Edward IV made it mandatory for a man to cover his privy members and buttocks.
With what?
The codpiece.
Ah.
Soon became a fancy way to both cover and flaunt a man's nether regions. According to Arena, wardrobe malfunctions could be a bit, well, revealing if you were to get excited dancing with a dame.
Oh, I see.
That you are interested in.
Hide your erection is what
you
that
must
is.
Always be garbed to perfection, and your codpiece must be well tied. We sometimes see cod pieces slip to the ground or to the side during dance. So you must tie them well or it could escape.
That is good advice.
Really is.
That is solid advice,
man.
We've
got more tips coming up with what you don't need to know. And today on the question, when did the great outdoors stop being so great? You probably heard the story of the Colorado runner who was mauled by a mountain lion. Here you go. Attacked by a mountain lion on a running trail Monday. First of all, if you are a runner, mm-hmm. okay, one thing that all runners do, the first thing that they do when they figure out where they want to run is they try to run on the flattest location
sure. They
can possibly find. At least this is my working strategy when I'm someplace. Like, ooh, there's a hill. Let's not do that.
I agree. Okay? I understand completely.
Now, this guy is a trail runner.
Right.
Which means that he runs trails,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy. And it's really, really difficult, and it sucks. I can think of nothing more that I would not want to do than do a trail run. It's absolutely hellish.
And one of the significant differences is that he was also attacked by a mountain lion.
Yes, I did a...
If for no other reason, that to me, because he was jogging on a mountain.
Castle's great idea was, hey, you want to do a half marathon? I didn't realize it was on a trail.
Oh, half marathon?
On the side of a mountain. It sucked. That's where I had to hold in a dump for 8 miles.
Yeah, but
I mean, when I let that
you
out,
voluntarily ran 13 miles on a mountain. Like,
that was
it's your
maybe
own fault.
One of the greatest poops I've ever taken.
I can believe it, but it's your own fault, man. Yeah.
So this guy's one of those people. He's a trail runner, and it sucks, right? So he's on a trail, and he is and his identity, by the way, has not been released. He's in his 30s, according to the media. He was treated for his injuries as he was attacked by a mountain lion on a running trail. He then pummeled the animal with a rock before wrestling it to the ground and choking it to death.
Yeah.
A spokesperson for the Colorado Parks and Wildlife called the runner's encounter with the mountain lion crazy but true. Who's going to make that up? You're all scratched up. You've been bitten by a mountain lion.
And you're on a mountain.
You have a
That's where mountain lions are.
You have a dead mountain lion in front of you. What else do you think happened? You went out for a run to kill a mountain lion?
This sucks. I don't want to kill a mountain lion. Make it fun.
Right.
I mean, that's not what happened. The victim was attacked from behind on the West Ridge Trail in what they call the Larimer County Foothills. Man was bitten on his face and wrist before he managed to pick up a rock and slam the animal on the head. He then jumped on the animal's back, and choked it to death with his hands, arm, and feet. I'd love to do that to Gomez, just to see what would happen.
Take out your cat?
Yeah, just ha-ha! Wildlife officers searched the trail where the runner said the attack occurred, found a dead mountain lion near some possessions the runner had described. The officers estimated that the animal, probably less than a year old, but weighed about 80 pounds.
Okay.
So pretty big cap.
Ranger, how heavy do they get? How heavy does the 150 pounds?
I think it just depends on where you are.
Well, oh, come on.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, look, dude, there's no difference between the house cat, we've talked about this before, and the cat that's on a puma, whatever the hell, mountain lion.
There's one significant difference.
I don't know what happens in Africa, man, but I mean, they supersize everything.
Right, but listen, the difference is this. The reason my cat does not try to kill me is because it knows that it cannot. I believe if it were big enough, then it would absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
So I know they're very similar, but that's the one difference. Mm-hmm. That's it.
It really is just pounds, right?
Sure.
Because once they figure they can get you, it's like anything else. Like, you might have that python for a while and raise it from a baby. But when it gets to the point where it knows it can take you out, it's going to take your ass out.
Yeah, look, man, my cat already knows it's faster than me. Can't see in the dark. It likes to mess with me. I get it. If it could kill me, it would kill me. I have no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. But since it can't, it pretends that it loves me.
Exactly right.
I think that's how cats operate.
Let's go to lovely Hawaii here. Eric Storm of Kilauea Eco Guides, a tour group based in Hawaii Volcano National Park, managed to lose his GoPro camera in a crack that was slowly filling with lava. By the way, GoPros are advertised to be imperishable, but no one would have predicted that a tiny bit of technology would even be able to withstand 1,000 centimeter, 100 Celsius heat of lava.
What is that? What is 1,000 Celsius?
I don't roughly. Know. The zero is freezing.
Well, yeah, I know, man. We're, right. We're 1,000 degrees warmer than 2.
So,
I don't know.
7 degrees?
No, let's not do this.
Is in the 90s?
We don't know. All right. We're not going to get this right.
I used a geology rock hammer to pull it out of the lava and thought it was a total loss. Not only had most of the camera survived, but it had managed to record everything and was still working.
Damn.
Eric pulled out the SD card, which also survived, and shared the unbelievable footage on YouTube. According to Eric, the camera still works, but it clearly has seen better days. The camera works even though, but not as well as it did before, which is amazing.
That's the camera survived.
The camera survived, unlike GoPro's stock price, which dropped about 80%.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah. I don't know what else goes with it. Our question, when did the great outdoors stop being so great? 844-999-OLA. We bring you this story out of Los Angeles, where a 13-year-old boy was rescued after falling into a river of sewage in Los Angeles, getting swept away and spending more than 12 hours in the city's toxic and maze-like underground sewer system.
Yay! So how did he end up? Why was he near a river of sewage?
He was playing, and he fell into a creek, which then led into the river.
Oh!
Yes, he'd been playing with other children on some wooden planks that crossed over a stream and a portal. The family was doing an outing in a park. When a plank broke, Jesse fell about 25 feet down and landed in the water, which was, in fact, basically just fast-moving sewage.
And they built a park there, huh?
The other children immediately notified adults, who called 911, initiating a frantic and exhaustive 12-hour search using underground pipes, cameras, propped on flotation devices, anything that they could. Rescuers finally found Jesse after seeing images of handprints on a sewage pipe. A sanitation crew rushed to the area and then opened a manhole. The first thing they heard was, then they heard, help! The crew lowered down a hose to Jesse, who was about 3 meters deep in the pipe. He caught on the hose and was reeled back up. Rescuers gave him immediate medical attention, including hosing him down to get rid of all the sewage, cleaning out his eyes and nose with sterile saline. Jesse immediately asked for a cell phone to call his mom. He was happy. Family was happy, obviously. Video released by the city later in the day showed a long, dark mark on the side of a dank sewage pipe, which was about 4 feet in diameter. That's where Jesse's fingers were sliding. After the accident, rescuers say the likelihood of someone being found safe diminishes by the hour. They never gave up hope. They wanted to bring Jesse back to his family.
How do you explain that to the adults? Like, hey, man, your kid is in the sewer hole, and I don't know where he is.
Yeah. Have you ever gone and been that kid to crawl through pipes or any of that stuff?
For a little while, man, when we lived in Colorado, we lived there for like a year and a half. And they built, it's like a new housing development, but basically they just built it on a prairie. So there was always like some infrastructure going in. So there are these pipes, man, and we would climb in there because you're a kid. And why not? They go on the other side of like what we would call a mountain. It was just a hill, whatever. We'd go through until a kid named Bobby got bitten by a rattlesnake.
And that was the end of that.
Well, we were just like, we're not doing that anymore, right? Like, that was the one major danger where we lived was rattlesnakes. That's where I lived when you would get to school, and before you could get to the playground, all the kids would have to stand there until the snake guys got the snakes out of the sandbox. Mm-hmm. And this was every day, man. I never got bitten, but I dealt with, like, three of them, I think, the time I was there. But kids were cool with rattlesnakes because we understood the situation.
Rattlesnakes were always just in the stream beds. So if you stayed away from the stream beds and the rhododendrons, right, you could probably, well, in the instance, because they tried to sun, and the sun breaks through those little ravines and those places on the mountain. So,
but see, there's a place to avoid where we live. They, like, just built this place on the prairie. So, like, the snakes were just around, man. They were like, instead of squirrels, we had freaking rattlesnakes. It was just understood.
Most snakes I've ever seen in my life, my buddy, I was helping him bale hay on a farm.
Of course you were.
Well, he had this big tarp that that he had basically dried out in the field. And after we got all the hay stacked and everything, you take the tarp and put it on top of it.
Were you getting paid to do this, or did you just say, sure?
No, I think his dad was going to throw us something. I can't remember at that time. But you put the tarp on top of the hay. That way, if it rains or whatever, it stays dry and all that crap, right? So we picked the tarp up, and I swear to God, it looked like the scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Because the tarp was actually keeping in a lot of the heat.
Sure.
And when the sun hit it, all the snakes were underneath this huge tarp.
Surprise.
So we picked the tarp up, man, and they just went running everywhere. And, I mean, we're in like 2 feet of grass anyway. So it was so, because that area where the tarp was hadn't been cut yet, because we had to get the tarp up so they could then bale that hay.
And what is your reaction? Are you just kind of frozen and all these snakes are shooting by?
The problem was it was by a river. So a lot of them were very bull-looking, so we knew there were
moccasins?
Copperheads.
Copperheads, all right.
So there were copperheads, and then there were big black snakes.
Yeah.
There were rat snakes. There were rattlesnakes. There were, you name it, garter snakes, racers. Every freaking kind of snake that I've ever seen in my life was congregated in one area.
Do they not fight? I mean, do snakes, like, if they're just getting warm, are they just cool with each other?
I don't know. Okay. I have no idea, but, I mean, we all just took off running, and then we waited about an hour and a half to go back down because, I mean, there were so many of them, we figured, all right, they've got to disperse and get the hell out of there. But the only other thing that freaked me out, man, was with a snake. We are in a cabin, and the cabin was one of those old abandoned cabins in the woods.
Okay.
People knew where it was. You could utilize the cabin if it was vacant. So all you right. could stay in there if it got rainy or whatever. It was just one of those cabins. Didn't have a door on it or anything like that. Had, like, holes where the windows should be. There were, you know.
Sounds fantastic.
But it was shelter. And it was dry inside. And if you got wet or whatever, you still had a place to stay.
I feel like you should be telling the story of, like, you were on the Serengeti. It's like, no, this is just what we did.
But they had, like, this kind of rickety door that kind of closed and had a latch on it. You know what I mean? It was just one of those things. So when I first got up to the cabin, I see that there's this, it looked to me like someone, there was 3 feet of a snake hanging in the door. And I looked at the damn thing, and I'm like, all right, so somebody doesn't either want you to stay in this place.
Right.
They killed it and left it as a joke, whatever. So, of course, I grab the snake by the tail, and I'm like, flap, 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 flap. I'm flapping it on the door, you know what I mean? Like, all right, because I'm trying to pull the damn thing through.
Right, right.
My buddy Jason goes around the corner, looks at the window, and the snake is alive. And on the inside, going, and I feel it tense up in my hand. And he's like, hey, man, that snake's alive. I'm like, God damn it. And I mean, he squeezed through like a quarter inch of the door frame. It was amazing what he got through.
How big was the snake?
I told you, the windows are open.
Right.
He does not have to do this. It looked like somebody, it looked like a joke. You know what I mean? Like just put it there, like, don't stay in this cabin, or look, we killed a snake here.
Sure, sure, I got
it. Leave it for the next person or whatever. The deal was, man, I mean, I was thump, 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 like knocking on the door with a snake. Damn thing was alive. It was probably like 6 feet long.
God, what kind of snake was it?
Big old black snake.
God.
They can't do anything to you. I mean, I wasn't that scared of the damn thing, but it's still...
It's still freaks you out,
at the time,
man.
I'm a kid, I'm used to seeing snakes all the time in West Virginia. Now they'd freak me out. Then it was just normal.
Yeah, but normal isn't always awesome. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Big-ass snake. Actually, a buddy of mine, we were riding bikes. This was in upstate New York, but we're riding bikes on these trails, and I've never seen a stunt so cool, right? We're in fifth grade. So he stands up, and he takes his hands off the handlebar, all right? So I'm riding behind him, and I see him pulling this move. So he's standing up, no hands on the handlebars, which is very difficult to do, all right? And then the bike, basically, it elevates, and he does a complete 360 in the air, lands standing, still no hands on the handlebars, pedals like three more pedals, comes to a stop, all right? And I've never seen anything like this in my life, and I'm freaking out, like, holy ass... Where did you learn to do that? Well, it's not that he learned to do that. A snake had fallen out of a tree and landed on him while he was riding. That was his reaction to discovering the snake on his lap.
Jesus.
Yeah, dude, but it looked like an awesome trick. I was like, oh, my God, man. How did you do it? The snake fell. I'm like, oh, my bad. Okay. That's all adrenaline rush.
No, I don't want that. Not snake so much, but I told you that, I saw one snake. On vacation, but it was the iguanas that were so freaking huge. And an iguana was kind of squaring up with a snake or backing up away from a snake.
All right.
And I
got
pictures.
Where were you?
This time I was in Curacao, which is a little bit north of Venezuela. The whole entire island is covered.
Not
in these
like,
goddamn
but I'm saying, are you out in nature
lizard.
Or
no,
are you
I'm
at the resort?
Yes, I'm hiking.
Okay. All right.
No, of course. I'm freaking doing a hike, man. The iguanas were everywhere, and they would fall asleep and fall from the trees at times. And people would tell you that, but you'd look up, and there'd be like 5-6 feet long lizards. But I did see a lizard backing up, man, because a snake was going after his ass. It was,
who do you think wins? I'm guessing the snake?
I left.
Okay.
I got out of there as fast as I could. I'm dead serious.
You'll never work for National
When did
Geographic.
The great outdoors stop being so great? 844-999-OLA. Calls on the way. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Still a counter turn of who sucks less. And what you don't need to know has dancing etiquette from 15 and 29. Our question, when did the great outdoors stop being so great? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Trevor. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola. So when did the great outdoors stop being so great?
Trevor, are you there?
Yep.
Okay.
Here you.
3, 2, 1, action.
All right. So when the great outdoors stopped being so great for me was I was camping out with my mom and my friend at Dozy Wallops. And it was the middle of summer, about midnight, no wind, no weather, just clear star skies. All of a sudden, I started hearing kind of this popping going on. And I'm like, oh, what the hell is that? And I look around with my friend Leon because we're sleeping in the same town. I was like, you hear that? He's like, kind of. Like, is it getting louder? He's like, yeah. And then I realized what it was. And I go, my tent was next to my mom's. And I go, Mom, get out of your effing tent. And she's like, why? Tree coming down right now. And it comes down and it lands on her tent as she's getting off of her air mattress. Like, she managed to get the zipper open on her tent. As the tree came down right where she'd been laying, not even a second before.
You saved your mom's life.
Huh?
You saved your mom's life.
I guess, yeah. And, like, the thing was, is when the tree landed on her air mattress, because it inevitably popped the mattress, she was still partially sitting on it. So this tree came within 2 inches of hitting her.
Did it kind of launch her into the air, in the air, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
shoot her off?
Yeah. It launched her like a good 2 or 3 feet in the air, she said, and it completely destroyed her tent. One of the branches had arced over and sliced our cooler in half.
Damn.
God damn, man.
Mm-hmm.
How close were you to getting hit by this tree?
One of the branches bounced up and came back and like impaled my tent.
Okay.
Like I had curled up in a ball and I told my friend to do the same thing, and we get out and all I see is this tree. Like this big, massive tree where my mom's tent was. I freaked the F out, dude.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah.
How was your mom after all that?
She was fine. We were joking about it a little bit later. The park officials came out later that morning, and they're like, okay, so we've assessed the damage, and we're going to replace pretty much everything that got hit by the tree. And mom's like, so can I claim that my Ferrari was parked under the tree?
Yes, because most people don't own Ferraris.
Yeah, if you can find a Ferrari.
Definitely go to the great outdoors.
Sure. Okay.
I hope your mom never flipped you ass for anything ever again.
You ever seen a tree fall?
I've seen it one time in my life. It was just weird. It was like, click, 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 boom. And I'm like, what made that happen?
Never seen the tree. Did it make noise? Since you were there.
Okay, it fell.
I saw a tree get struck by lightning once. And that was in the middle of the city. And me and my buddy Leon, we had trash bags over. It's dumping down rain. We went to buy beer. We were supposed to buy beer for this event happening up the street. So we're now walking up the street. The guy at the liquor store was kind enough to give us trash bags to put on. But we're going up the street anyway. And this giant-ass tree across the street gets hit by lightning as we're going up. Leon dropped his case of beer and took off running, which pissed me off because he broke 18 to 24.
Jesus.
We didn't have a lot of money. But, yeah, that was... That's probably the closest I've been to, like, seeing nature do something crazy.
When did the great outdoors stop being so great? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to the men's room.
Oh, phone dong.
That was a fantastic story. Hello, Kathy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Hi. We lived in Alaska when I was a kid. And we were out hunting ptarmigan.
Hunting what?
Ptarmigan, it's like a pheasant.
Sort of. All right.
And we heard, and there'd been a forest fire all through that area, and bears were claiming new territory. Because when we were out, we heard this scream and looked up, and there's a grizzly bear running at us down a hill. My dad grabbed his gun, and it stopped, and it stood up, and then he shot it, so it fell over and then was pointing back up the hill, and so it took off.
Well, that's good.
Yes, but then it was crazy because me and my two brothers, we were all under the age of 10, and my mom was freaking out because she's going, there's a forest full of trees and none you can shove a kid into because they were either, the branches were like 20 feet up, like on aspens and stuff, or...
Your mom's concern, not, hey, we had a forest fire and bears are out claiming new territory. Let's go out and see how it goes.
We did a city hike in Alaska.
And I
was just like, my head was on a swivel with bears. Because they'd been seen in the area.
When we checked into the hotel in downtown Anchorage, there was a newspaper in the room. And Miles read this headline to me, third jogger in a month attacked by grizzly bear at Centennial Park. And he said, that's messed up. I said, dude, how about this? We don't go to Centennial Park. To me, the world's very easy. So Miles goes, I wonder where it is. Looks on a map. We look out our window, it's directly across the street.
It's like a it big is across iron gate, like, look, the Centennial Park.
Okay. And there's a grizzly bear in there killing people, man.
When did the great outdoors stop being so great? 844-999-OLA. An animal shelter has been inundated with a request to adopt a puppy that was snatched and dumped on a building site by a hawk. Officials at the Austin Animal Center say they've been bombarded with adoption requests for the six-week-old Chihuahua. The dog somehow miraculously survived being grabbed by a hawk, then dropped on a building site. We've received absolutely tons of adoption applications for him, and his foster has narrowed it down to a few candidates, so we're no longer accepting applications for him, according to a person with the Austin Animal Center.
Is this just because it got snatched by a hawk, right? Because it's a baby Chihuahua. They exist. Do people just want to adopt it because it got snatched by a hawk and dropped?
Yes. The puppy was dropped on the construction site on January 11th. It was found after construction workers in Austin heard yelping and began to search the site for a distressed animal. They soon realized the cries were coming from above them in the sky.
Oh, jeez.
Soon afterward, they spotted the pup who'd been clutched in the claws of a hawk flying overhead. Then the hawk dropped the pup and the builders rushed to rescue. Jesus.
Hola! The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
Is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.